Acts chapter 7. This is the great chapter, as Kaufman's about to say, that Stephen gives a great historical account of the Hebrews for the previous 400 years of a sojourn that started with Abraham and Isaac, and then ends with Stephen's stoning. But Kaufman said about this chapter, "This great chapter is entirely devoted to the account of Stephen's so-called defense before the Sanhedrin and his martyrdom. Actually, Stephen's address was not so much a defense of himself as it was an epic survey of Jewish history as related to their rejection of the promised Messiah. And while it is true, a complete refutation of the charges against himself is apparent in this masterful speech, it is the glorious figure of the risen Lord which dominates every word of it. It is only natural that in an address which touches so many historical accounts, events, that the critics would have worked overtime searching for so-called contradictions. A few of them will be noted for the purpose of showing the amazing weakness of such criticisms. Those great experts on Jewish history who sat in the Sanhedrin found no fault whatsoever with the history cited by Stephen. The only thing they objected to was his application of it." So Kaufman said that there's critics all through the centuries that tried to find fault and errors in Stephen's speech here that he gives before the Sanhedrin, but those so-called contradictions are no contradictions whatsoever, and he addresses those as they come up. And he says the Jewish historians that Stephen was given this before had no could find no fault whatsoever in this historical account that Stephen was citing to them. They just objected to his application of it, then culminating to the Messiah whom they rejected. But they had no problem with all the history from Abraham all the way through David and even Solomon's mentioned. And then they just had the problem with then the Messiah being Jesus. About Stephen's address, Kaufman said, "The name Stephen means wreath or crown, and it is appropriate that the first to win the martyr's crown should have worn such a name. It is said of Stephen in the New Testament that he was a man full of faith, full of grace, full of power, full of light, full of scripture, full of wisdom, full of courage, and full of love." So we don't have much written about Stephen, but in the few pages that are written about him, these seven or eight things about him that he was full of was is all over these pages. So he was a very powerful man and made quite an impact in a short amount of time. "The providence of God overruled the tragic events of Stephen's death by two things, by making it the occasion for the scattering of the Christians, which was so necessary in the divine purpose, and two, by accomplishing through it the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, the mightiest figure apart from Christ in the entire New Testament." Okay, verse 1. "Then said the high priest, are these things so?" And Kaufman said about this, about the high priest, "Caiaphas, who served as high priest until AD 36, is again in charge of those who were determined to rid the world of Christianity. He presided against Jesus, against Peter and John, and against the apostles, and now against Stephen." So that is not a good commentary on Caiaphas through all of eternity, that he was the one that was against all, mainly the Messiah, but then even against God's servants, Peter and John, the apostles, and now again Stephen, that Caiaphas has been against all of these. And the question, are these things so? Kaufman said, what a hypocritical question from the man who had bribed the witnesses to lie. Stephen's historical survey reviews the history of the nation from the call of Abraham to the building of Solomon's temple. It concentrates on three main topics. First, the patriarchal period. Second, the Moses and the law. And third, the tabernacle and the temple. The first of the three sections of this speech is an introduction to the central themes. The second deals with the charge of blasphemy against Moses, and the third with the charge of blasphemy against God. Verses 2-4. And he said, so now Stephen is starting his speech. Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, God moved him to the land in which you now dwell. So, Kaufman said, Abraham received instructions from God to leave his home and his kindred to travel to an unknown land. This unquestioning act of obedience on the part of Abraham is forever remembered in God's word. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and when he went out, not knowing where he was traveling to. This separation from his kindred also served another purpose to benefit Abraham. He was removed from the influence of his idolatrous relatives. The phrase, get out of your country. The young congregation was about to be scattered, and it was timely for Stephen to focus upon the fact that Moses had been called to get out of his native land and follow the call of the God of glory. On that very day, when Stephen spoke, countless numbers of Christians would say goodbye to Jerusalem forever. Significantly, God's call of Abraham took place in a pagan land, Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Iraq. So this Mesopotamia was also Babylon, and then in verse 4, this word Chaldean, we'll remember as whenever we studied the book of Daniel, anytime that we see the word Chaldean, that's an ancient word for Babylonian and Mesopotamia. And so which is all modern day Iraq. So our time is gone. So I think we will leave off and start next week, Lord willing, with verse 5.